Turn me up a little bit. Turn me up a little bit.
Well, from this track.
That's what I want to sound.
We back, y'all. Episode 20, What You Scared to Say podcast, season 3. It's your host, Alante. I got a very special guest today. And before we get started, before I introduce the guest, I want everybody to like, subscribe, share. We got my man, Rock the Barber, in the building, owner of Hair Forever. Say what's up to the people.
What's going on, people? How y'all doing?
Yeah, so who we got up here today is a very influential man in the city of Philly and in the tri-state area. I look up to him almost like a big brother. I've been getting my cut from him since I was probably, 14, 15 years old. I've watched him have heavy influence on the neighborhood, especially North Philly and the surrounding areas, and just deal with young men and talk to men around his peers and just be a leader of men and lead by example and really do things in the community to, that's more positive that I think that we need to see more of. That's why he's up here today. Like I said, he's very inspirational. I really look up to you, bro. Like, you're really a good dude.
I appreciate that.
Solid dude. I think I want to have more good men around me that's on the same type time. You know, I appreciate you coming up here and showing this platform love.
I appreciate you having me here, bro. Like, it's a pleasure to have somebody call you up and, like, you see him grow, you see him age, you know, and they just get into something new, and they have you come in to talk to the people. You know, of course, everybody knows what I do every day. I mentor your young brothers. I've been going to schools, homes. I go to everywhere, wherever I gotta go to mentor the people that's in the neighborhood. And I appreciate you for having me here, bro.
Yeah, no doubt. We was supposed to have Sister Talia here. Shout out to Sister Talia. Reschedule, get her on here. She had some difficulties trying to get here today, but we're gonna make it happen eventually. But we got the team here. We got Buck and Lawrence here. We're gonna rock with who we rocking with. And I wanna give a shout out to RedCon before we get started. RedCon 1. They've seen me on my fitness journey. I've, you know, started hitting the gym, Fusion Gyms, real hard, and I was posting a lot of content. And then my man Leroy, who work in Fusion, he put me on Total War pre-workout drinks. And ever since then, like, I hit RedCon. I'm like, yo, like, I really love y'all product. What's up? So they decided to throw something at me, and I've been promoting their stuff. So, you know, definitely check them out. You know, get with RedCon 1 if you heavy in the gym. And we actually going to speak about that a lot, about, you know, health and where I feel men need to be and things of that nature. Rock, one of the many things I wanted to talk about, when I'm looking around, and people who watching this, a lot of people, they seen you on other platforms, you know, Heat 100 Radio. They seen you do
shout out to Heat 100.
Yeah, shout out to Heat 100. They seen you doing other things. So a lot of people already know, like, you know, I like to get people up here. We jump into topics and we start, you know, picking their brain. What's your thought process? How you move through life? So people, you know, when they watch this, they be like, all right, you know, like, I like what type time he on. I want to move like that. I think we need more men where we'd be like, I look up to him. We need to move like that. I like how he think. I like how he dress. I like how he carry himself. I like how other men respect him. I like how women adore him. I like how people feel protected around that person. That person feels reliable. So, like, this is why, like, I surround myself with people such of your nature. And when I look around, when I go into the neighborhoods, when I go inside the stores, I see young kids. And young kids are very impressionable. And they look up to us, and half the time we be moving and we don't even know where they learning this stuff from. We look on the news, we wonder why Philadelphia the way it is. And where does this come from? Why is, you know, kids moving the way they moving? Is because they always paying attention. They're always listening. Mm-hmm. And we got men out here who don't even realize that you are an example, whether you believe it or not. You have a duty and an obligation out here.
It's honest truth. And my personal experiences, like, when I see I work with kids and I work with the mentality of men. Like, yeah. I don't work with just children. I work with the mentality of men. And doing that, you got to understand what you got to do. And the one thing you got to do is understand the person. Mm-hmm. Everybody got a different attitude. They got different emotions. And it's those days of do this and do that is over. Right. Basically, when it comes to things now, you got to ask people and like kind of like conform to who they are.
Okay.
Before you have a person listen. I always say to anybody, for you to help a young boy, you got to understand that young boy. You got to understand who they are, what they do, what they're going through, their mentality state, what mental issues they got going on. Because a lot of times these young brothers have a lot of mental issues. They got fear. Mm-hmm. They got problems. They got issues. They might have saw their friend just got killed.
Right.
Like, they might never trauma. Have yeah. got a, that none of that trauma handled. Like,
right.
Nobody ever sat down with this child to say, yo, how are you really feeling? What's right. going on with you? Let me talk to you. Or come on, let's go hang out. Let's go somewhere different than what you're used to. When you take them out of the environment, you change their mindset. You show them what a different environment is or what they're missing. Right. And that changes the mindset slowly.
Right.
Because it's not going to change in one day. You're never going to expect that. But you got to also be diligent with it and constantly be on them. It's hard. I ain't going to lie. Even for me, it's very hard to do my own life and try to keep up with the young brothers that I mentor right. and make sure they're on the same page, because all of them got different things. And then you got to hold that in on your own and still do everything you're doing every day and still right. be that same person.
It's almost like you got to be kind of like a Superman. You got your own personal life. You're trying to hold down your business. You're trying to hold down your household. You got your own kids to watch over. Then you got people to look up to you. Then you got your peers that you got to watch over. It's like three-dimensional chess everywhere. Yeah. So I say this, right? You said something that's very important. Nobody ever sat down with these children that, you know, or these young men that sit, how you feel, what are you going through? And these are the steps to get through it. So I feel like us as a people, we have victim mentality, right? I place the blame on the parents. I don't think enough parents are out here doing their job. I think we blame the government too much.
Can I interject just for a second?
Please jump in.
When you say you know, you blame the parents, we're not gonna blame the parents. We're gonna blame the whole society.
It starts at home, though.
I say society as in itself is because everything plays a part in everything. Mm-hmm. Because just parents might not be able to be home with their kids because they gotta work more.
Mm-hmm.
They got to work more because the society's bread is going up. Milk is going up. Right. Cheese is going up.
Right.
Food is going up, right. Period. You're getting less for more.
Okay.
For more money.
So can like, I jump back in?
Yeah, sure, bro.
So this is, I look up to people, right? I see a lot of influential people out there, right? Everybody know who Dame Dash is. Dame Dash is one of these people that's always talking about having your own business, which you actually have. So I understand that different businesses, you still got to put longer hours in, but this is the reason why it's imperative for people. It's either you shitting or you getting off the pot. Yeah, so I'm not one to believe in excuses. So I'm the one to believe that you should have your own business. That's something you should strive for.
I'm going to say another thing as a business owner. Everybody can't be the owner.
Not everybody.
You got to have, just like this, they've always said,
You have to find ways to be home with to have more influence over your children, because your children are spending more time at these schools where there's not enough masculine energy in these schools. If you talk to women that work in these daycares, it starts very young, because I believe that you need to talk to young boys at 4 or 5 years old and teach them how to control their emotions four or 5 years old.
That's the honest truth.
So because there's no men inside of these daycares, I don't believe you should have a daycare full of men. That'd be weird. But under the looking of women, it should be at least one male inside. It got to be at least one male. Yeah, just to have balance, because when a kid is with a single mom, his mom is a single mom, he's with feminine energy. He goes to these daycares. He goes to these schools.
See,
it's more feminine energy. Exactly.
Men teach accountability.
Yes.
And accountability is some things that are always missing. First off, we teach accountability. And we teach men to be less whiny.
Yes.
Like when a man has feminine ways, he becomes real. And I'm not saying this to the women in a certain way, but it is what it is. Mm-hmm. When a man has more feminine ways, they're easier to snap. They're not easy to hold their strength.
Emotional men are dangerous.
Yes. There you go. saying it.
I've always said that emotional men are dangerous. Men have to learn to control their emotions at a very young age. It starts at 4 or 5, and when a woman sees a young boy crying, you know, maybe he doesn't get what he want. And this is another thing that frustrates me when it comes to young men, and I think that we got to get back to teaching young kids this. And young, it starts with the little things. So when I see kids going around and they say gimme, or like gimme this, it's not, they're not addressing adults as yes sir, no sir. A woman is no ma'am, yes ma'am, no ma'am.
You know, I had that issue yesterday with my son. Right. He was going around, people were sitting in the shop and he was trying to use the microwave. Somebody was sitting in front of the microwave.
Well, the mic took,
and a little bit. What was happening was that he was trying to get past to heat up his food. And I'm looking at him and I'm like, what you supposed to say? He's basically trying to move around a person without saying, excuse me. And I'm like, what you supposed to say? And somebody say, he cool. I said, no, he not.
No,
he
not.
I'm not even going to start that. I'm right. Not cool. Like, right. And those small things right there changed the whole demeanor of what's going on. Right. Because, you know, me working with schools and working with the young brothers, I see it all the time. They don't have no, like, it was young brothers walking past me. And I'm like, say, excuse me, young boy. Like, I would stop you quick and say, excuse me.
Right.
Like, I would not. It's things like shaking a hand in front of somebody's face.
Right.
It's things like when you,
look at them in the eye, firm handshakes. Yes, we don't all teach things. That. You ever shake a young kid's hand? It's just the most flimsiest handshake or a young man's
hand. They don't even know the fear. What's really behind that? That's a sign of admiration. It's a sign of admiration.
It's respect.
Like when you shake somebody's hand, it's a sign of admiration. It's telling them that you have nothing to fear from me.
Right.
That's why these young boys are out here wearing masks and stuff, because they don't have that. They have a fear. And they don't give out the signs of admiration to people when they walk up on these brothers in the streets. I straight up, like, when I go to the store, what's up, y'all? How y'all doing?
Right.
That right there tells y'all I'm not nothing to worry about.
Disarm people. You don't have from
to stare. Yeah, you don't have to stare at me. You don't have to worry about me doing it. What's up, brothers? How y'all doing? Oh, we are good. Good away.
Or you walk into the stores and you just treat everybody with respect to people that work there. You treat the clerks. I watch young men. I watch young kids. They got the mannerisms of, where did you learn this from? Where did you learn to slouch like that? Where did you learn your posture to talk negative, to be disrespectful? Damn, pop. The John is it?
Yeah,
like as a man, this is how you speak to another grown man.
You making me feel bad now because you got the suit on and I got a posturous shirt. No,
but I've seen you. But everybody's seen you a different place. So listen. You're a leader of men. I've told you that. I've seen you in many different spaces, and you suited and booted. Highly respected. So, you know, you're a man in different uniforms. So,
I appreciate
you
know, it, bro.
No doubt. So,
but on the honest truth, like, with this whole situation, it just like they said a long time ago, it takes a village. Yeah. It does take a village.
We've lost that, though. We've lost it.
Yeah, we have.
If you touch my kid, fuck you up.
Yeah.
Bing bong.
Thanks for correcting my kid. Bring your ass here. I'll whoop your ass too. Respect your elders.
Honestly. Like
everybody has the attitude now. You bet not say nothing to my child. Yep. Before when I was growing up,
more than women.
A lot of women say that online a lot, but I'm grateful to have a father who was in the military.
There's our ways of chastising a child without chastising a child.
Well, you know, it's a way not to be abusive.
The mannerism of voice.
Yeah. Tone. But as a man, you need to know your cadence, and you need to know what your energy is.
Exactly.
But this is why I bring up my father, and I'm grateful to have somebody who was, because I grew up kind of in a military family. My mom was in the Navy. My pop was a Marine. So I got certain discipline skills that a lot of my parents, he gave me humility. He gave me discipline. He told me how to pay attention to detail, how to look a man in the eye, how to give a firm handshake, how to tie a tie, how to, you know, do. So these are things that kids don't know how to do anymore. And it starts, and this is why I say it starts at home with the parenting. So I'm tired of blaming the police. I'm tired of blaming the schools. I'm tired. Like, people are more concerned about whether their children have the dopest proms ever or whether this child is going to school and all this designer and nobody can't say nothing to my child anymore.
But the thing is, getting to that prom or getting to the dopest prom or getting to the girl dopest.
Yeah, because they're not even making it anymore.
Yeah.
They're getting shot.
And that's the hardest part.
Because nobody know how to throw fair ones. Everybody's so emotional. So if you take it, you know, a lot of people dying over women or, you know, he fucked my girl or he said this about me. It's not even over no life-changing money or nothing you should be going to war about. But if you find out what the original problem was and you be like, this is why y'all gang warring over each other? Like, it's psychotic.
I'm not going to keep saying the word blame because the word blames makes people feel angry.
Right.
Even though we ain't scared to say what we got to say.
Right.
Of course. But I'm going to say it in another way. We got to have accountability.
Absolutely.
We got to have
accountability. Got to start with the men, though. And I think we don't have enough men out here that's like on that type time.
It starts with the home.
Yeah,
it
absolutely.
It brinkles down to the whole neighborhood. It goes down to the whole society in itself. But everybody got to be able to teach in some way, some capacity. If you teaching your child at home to speak to people on the streets and they go out on the streets and then people don't speak back, where does it go?
Facts.
It goes right back to where it was at before. So that change got to be a unison thing. It got to be not just one place, one person. Yeah, they say you take one bad apple out of a basket, but what if the basket is the one that's making the apples bad?
Right, that's true. Yeah, the surrounding, everybody who's supposed to be in charge.
Right.
Or they haven't worked through their traumas, or they haven't grown up. We got people even who's in their 30s and 40s, and they still act like children.
Even with the police and like how children. the demeanor that they give these young brothers. I know there's not, and I'm going to say it like it is. It's not that many bad cops out here.
It's a lot of good cops out here, actually.
Good cops out here, but you cannot. It's like a bowl of noodles.
This is not.
You gotta figure
to
out which
say.
Noodle ain't bad. You gotta figure out which noodle hasn't been cooked all the way.
See, this is the problem. You got thousands and hundreds of thousands of police officers that work in the United States of America, and CNN will wait, or MSNBC or one of these Democratic stations will wait until one stupid cop out the whole entire country decides to do something every 7 to 8 months, and then it paints the picture that all police officers are the problem.
I heard you say Democratic.
Yeah, because that's real. These Democratic stations, led stations, these liberal stations. This is the narrative that they push, and they know black people are going to get emotional. Black men are going to get emotional, and want to go burn down neighborhoods, and want to go burn down businesses.
You know what's so crazy?
And then want to go steal, and then that's the reason why we got food deserts, and this is the reason why people like. The Walmarts and the Walgreens want to move out of black neighborhoods because all we do is just steal and burn them down when we get emotional.
And talk about Rite Aids.
Yeah. So, and this is the reason why it happens. So this is why I started out talking about victim mentality, and men need to start preaching that everything is your fault as a man, as a young man. Everything is always your fault. I'm tired of blaming everybody else. Once you take full accountability, life would be so much more better. It's not the white man's fault. It's not Donald Trump's fault. I don't care who you vote for. Your life will forever be shit if you do not take full accountability for your life. I hate hearing excuses. I always
crazy what you just said.
What?
I felt that way all my life about being accountable for my own actions.
Yes.
And that's why I have never been locked up. And when I was locked up, it wasn't even my fault. Like, it was something that I wasn't even involved. It wasn't even me.
Was it because of the people that you placed yourself around?
I never got locked up for anything.
Okay,
criminal.
Got you.
Put it like that.
All right, good.
I got locked up for mistaken identity.
Right.
And when I was locked up for those 7 days, honest truth, I changed the whole demeanor of what was going on in there. I had people sitting out. I was in there for 2 hours. Right. We could only get out for 2 hours. It became from getting out 2 hours to being out for 24 hours.
Right.
Because of who I was.
Right.
And there are a lot of people that can agree to that testimony that were in there with me, that were customers of mine.
Right.
They're like, Rocky, what you here for?
Right.
I'm like, man, I don't even know. But it happened. That was a point in life. And when I got to that point in life, I also understood that, like, we as black young men, I can't say I'm young, but I feel
young. You are
young.
You ain't 78
feel
young. Years old.
Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I feel young. So I'm always going to feel
Words
young.
Words have
even
power.
Even when I get older. Us as men,
right.
Black men, we got to stop thinking that everything is just made for us. We, you know, we was in a shop one day talking about gels, and it was like, that's all it is, gel. And I'm like, y'all got the mentality that it's made for you only. It wasn't just made for you, it's other people, it's other cultures out here too. When you get in there, you see all that. But when you out here, you think that it's just us.
Right.
Like, no, it's stop having that thought.
I was in prison. I was in prison for 3.5 years. I got a 3.5 to 10 year sentence for armed robbery, possession with intent, all of that nut shit. So I say that to say this. People always like to say, Alante, you think you're perfect. You never talk about, you know, you talk about everybody else and blah, 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 blah. How about... I'm going to let you know this. The reason why I got locked up was not because of nobody else. It was because of my fault. Because I was stupid. I was emotional. I was an emotional young man. And I did stupid stuff because I was in my feelings. And this is why I can talk from a standpoint of, you know, I made mistakes. This is what you need to do to correct that. And look where I'm at now.
So with you doing that, what do you think was your biggest change? What made you, what was the main thing in that whole conduit that made you change the most, that made you think that
it was my fault that there was accountability? Because you, God will strip you down. And I understand that, you know, you're a Muslim. I'm Christian. So, but at the end of the day, we believe in God. We got,
believe in God.
Yeah, we believe in God. So I knew, and I had to, he wasn't going to get me out that situation, but I knew he was going to, I needed the grace to get through it. I said, all right, I need the power to get through this. So my mentality had to change. I had to give more. I had to listen to more people. It was people in there that was never coming home. People love to talk about the glorifying and the negative stuff, but when you're actually in the courthouse and you're downstairs in the basement and a young man is 19 years old goes up to see the judge, and then he comes back down and what happened? What did they give you? And he said, oh, they willed me out. They gave me life. And then you feel the energy. You feel the energy, you know. It's multiple people out there just doing 20-year bids, 30-year bids, just really fight. So I sat there, and people got real problems at home. People that's dying, mothers that's dying, aunties that's dying, and they can't go home to the funeral. So they got real problems. I know I'm going to go home eventually. So let me be more selfless. Let me stop worrying about me. Let me get into this book. Let me get into this Bible. I read the New Testament, front words to back. I read it so many times till it made sense to me. So this is where it clicked for me. I said, all right, I got to take accountability. It's nobody else's fault. It's not my homie's fault. It's not no woman's fault. I was the fuck up. I put myself in this position. That's called being a man. That's called growing up. And I wish I had more men out here, more men that was around me that felt that way, to stop acting like a bunch of pussies, because that's all I see is a bunch of men that got a bunch of excuses of why their life is to where is at right now. That's all I see out here. Is you want women to submit to you. You want women to go do this. What are they looking up to out here? Men that don't care about what they eat. Men that wants to fuck everything moving. They don't got no standards for themselves. They getting everything pregnant.
I always say the same thing, bro.
Go ahead.
A woman will respect you more when you got all your own.
When you got your own.
When you got
you're
your
not,
own.
You're not looking for the hustle woman. When you're not looking to finesse her.
Like, is a woman, if you want a real woman, she going to find you. You ain't going to find her. They going to find that person that's real, that got their own.
She's always going to choose the boss guy with the boss mentality, the one who takes accountability, the one who feels like he could be Superman and solve every problem. I just say you're a business owner, you're a father, you have employees that you got to watch after, you got the neighborhood, you got events that you be. I asked you something, when do you get sleep? It seems like you only got Sundays off. When do you find a time to do, you know, but you
know, an older brother told me one thing.
Yeah.
Sleep when you dead.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm going to say what it is.
You only get one life.
And I'm going to say it in that way, because that aspect is a metaphoric aspect. I'm going to say sleep when you did, because even in my sleep, I'm thinking about the next thing to do the next day.
Right.
In my sleep, this is the honest truth.
Right.
In my sleep, I'm thinking about how I'm going to do this tomorrow.
Right.
Or how I'm going to pay this bill tomorrow.
Right.
Or how I'm going to make sure my son got this tomorrow. Or, dang, whatever happened that day before that I know that's going to happen the next day.
Yeah.
I'm already thinking about the plan on how to get through it without doing anything negative.
Right.
Without having to take somebody's life, without having to take something from somebody else.
Right.
Without having to rob a bank, without having to do something negative. I'm already in my mind the night before.
Right.
I got a pad and a ink pen next to my bed every night. And before I go to bed, I write down the next things I got to do the next day.
Yeah.
And guess what? Every single thing has a plan behind it.
Right.
Okay, I got to make X amount of this. I got to make this. I got to do this. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to stop at this time and do that. I'm going to go on my phone at this time. Believe it or not, I actually got a calendar that people don't never know about. I got a calendar in my mind. It's a mindset calendar. A lot of my barbers say, yo, how you know I remember what I owe you? Because it's already set. In my mind, what it is or what it ain't, or how much I want from you, or how much I need to get from you, or how much I don't want.
Right.
I set it all up every
day. Nothing
every
is by day. Accident.
It's never by accident. It's never by accident.
People think that people find success. The reason why Buck has a great network, the reason why Lawrence has built what he has built, the reason why Rock has built what he's built, the reason why I built what I, because nothing is by accident. Everything is strategic. Everything is three-dimensional chess. Everything is accountability. We're already thinking tomorrow. We're thinking about next week. I'm already looking at the problem before it happens. Mm-hmm. That is called being Superman. That is called going after what you want in life. You just don't trip all. I wake up the next day and I'm successful. You have to be so strategic to the T. if you want to make it out here, because it's only getting harder in life. I wanted to ask you this, because sometimes the best thing to do is just to lead by example. And, you know, I watch how you move. But then, I know throughout the years, your team has changed. People around you is different people. You know, my mother always told me, not everybody's going to make it with you. And you got to be okay with that. The people that you want to bring with you, Buck was just telling me this last night when we was at the gym, that, mm-hmm. you know, about having a good heart and about, you know, this, that, and the fourth. Why do you think some of your peers, because you have influenced a lot to be on the time that you're on, but why do you think you couldn't bring everybody with you, or the majority of people you wish you could have brought with you when you first got started? What did you think was, like, their mentality? What was their downfall? What couldn't they see that you was trying to get across to them?
The biggest thing, if I wasn't me, I would say crabs in a barrel, but I'm me. Okay. So I ain't going to say that. I'm going to say everybody has their own path. It's already written.
Right.
It's written. But, you know, your path can go any multiple amount of ways,
yeah.
depending on the decisions you make.
Right.
And throughout my whole life, I've always thought that whatever's meant for you is going to come to you.
Right.
And it's going to come to you either now or later. Right. But sometimes people try to jump the gun, yeah. and rush it. Sometimes right. you just got to be patient and sit back and just continue doing the things that you're going to do
right.
to line it up to where it's supposed to go.
Right.
Like, when you line, like, everything is a straight line or horizontal.
Right.
You know, geometry is a part of life.
Facts.
And if you, as a person, you have a form of geometry in your lifestyle.
Right.
You just got to know when the equal is coming. Right. Equal this. Equal right. that.
A lot of people have learned.
Those pluses up and it equals this. Yeah.
A lot of people have learned delayed gratification, to what your point, what you're talking about. If, you know, they want to jump the gun, straight line. You learned the art of delayed gratification. There's many ways to learn that.
I'm going to keep it real. I sat there and watched barbers that were older than me.
Right.
That had been in the field for years. And I surpassed them in a certain way. Right. But never once looked back at them in a certain way.
Yeah.
I didn't look back at them. I pulled them forward.
Right.
So, just like in that same situation, everything that I've done or who I've connected with, it has a reason. It has a purpose. Right. Like, all my friends who I call brothers, right. they became brothers through the friendship that we had.
Right.
They became friends. Or the brothers that are friends, they became that way because of whatever situations we had in life. Mm-hmm. You know, I always say everybody serves their own purpose, mm-hmm. and they come across you in a certain way to do something that's going to either help you or hurt you.
Oh, this is a fact. I want to jump help onto you what or you're hurt saying. You. Right, right.
And even with you, you saw me doing stuff like this before.
Facts.
And
facts.
It gave you a gratification that, dang, maybe this is something that I wanted to do.
Facts.
That's why you're so good at it. Because it was already bent into you to do.
Right.
I tell people all the time, I didn't teach you. You didn't teach me how to better myself. You just gave me the morality to do so. Yeah. You just gave me that morality to say, damn, maybe this could be me.
Right.
Or maybe this could be me.
Right.
Like, you don't make somebody do something.
That's a fact.
It's all about what they want to do.
This is,
you can lead them into the water. You can't make them drink.
This, to add on to what you're saying, right? And you said this earlier about not everybody's meant to maybe own a business or be the. So this is, life is only going to get hard. I don't want to see men complaining going forward. So this is the best way that I see life. I see life like, if you're not meant to be the business owner, if you're not meant to be the CEO, if you're not the one with the plan, the grand scheme, but you have, first and foremost, learn delayed gratification. Number two, understand that you don't got to be the captain of the yacht, but you can be on the boat. Everybody yeah. got a role to play. So if you see Rock, somebody who has a business, who you might not.
You know, I shout out to my man, Jizz.
Go ahead.
I'm going to shout out to my brother, K.O. I'm going to shout out to my old head, Pop.
Yeah,
I'm a shout out to my young brother Poppy. I'm a shout out to all these brothers that I might not have mentioned, but y'all right. know who y'all are.
Right.
That helped me become the person I am.
Right.
I'm a shout out to my mom.
Right.
Shout out to my sisters is always behind me.
Everybody had a role to
yeah,
play.
I'm a shout out to these people because these people are my backbone.
Right.
When you think I'm the most strong and sturdiest person, those are the people I turn to.
Right.
I shout out to Mo, who brought me on the radio. Right. Like, I shout out to a lot of people.
Right.
And why? Because everybody has their own purpose in life for you.
Facts.
And some people may be that tender touch that you need.
Yes.
Some people might be that punch that you need. And yes. some people might be that hug you need.
Yes.
And all them people give me one of those things.
Right.
And, you know, they might even be that listening ear or that talkative tongue that you got to hear. You know, someone might just touch me in the back, touch you behind your back and talk to you behind your back as well as before your face.
Right.
And they know what I mean. So, in that whole aspect of everything, everybody got to have it. A lot of people turn away those things because they feel as though it's, you know, it's crazy because it's the most funniest thing in the world. Some I hear people say, I don't need nobody. But believe me, in life, you need somebody.
You absolutely need somebody.
You always need a team. Yeah. You always need a team. Yeah. No matter how big up the bar you is, you need a team.
Facts. If you want to get through this life, you're going to need a
team. You need a team.
You got to switch. If you don't like your team, you have the ability to switch your team. Every year, people are saying, oh, I got to leave such and such alone. Why are you at a certain age? You should know who your team is.
I remember one point in time where I had over 17 barbers working for me.
Yeah.
And people was wondering why I didn't get rid of certain, the ones that wasn't making money.
Right.
And I said, because they need me.
Or they can get better.
They can get better.
Right.
Guess what? The craziest part is the ones that was the lowest on the totem pole was the ones that held off with me the most.
Right.
They stood with me every single day and up to this day. Put the work in. As much as they could, and you wouldn't even recognize it because everybody looking at what they don't do or what they can't do. Or they haven't done. But to me, they had a reason. It was a reason.
Right.
Like Steve the Barber, shout out to him.
Shout out to Steve.
And people won't even know. Steve might be one of the worstest cutters in the avenue, but he's still cutting. What does that tell you? What does that tell you?
Right, he got no quit in him.
What does that tell you? No, but I'm just saying, like, as a barber, I know, but in the whole... Outside the aspect of clientele, outside the aspect of making money, it's what he brings to my business.
Right.
I tried to fire him, but I had to bring him back because it didn't feel right. Because he brings something to the business that I was missing.
If he's not a drain, if it's not that specifically him, but anybody that you're with, him, but
like it's a contribution. Eddie, like some things are a contribution. Yeah. It's a contribution.
It's a contribution to something.
Right.
If it's not a drain on your finances on what you're doing,
Right. Shout out to my old head killer.
Right.
Shout out to my old head killer.
Shout out to killer. Shout out to OG killer.
His brother, and I ain't gonna lie, he's not a barber. Mm-hmm. He has a cut hair not once in his life.
One of your most loyal people around you.
Most loyal person around me.
Right.
Why? Because he wakes up every morning.
Right.
Six in the morning to open my shop before I even get there. And it's so crazy. He just called me today. His keys are still happened to his keys. And he called me and said, did your sister bring me the keys? I said, where you going? Oh, hey. I got to get my keys. So I open the door. Just relax. I got you. But it's so bent into him to be there for whatever reason be.
I'll be there for you.
Yeah. So, you know, I respect that. I respect that. I respect that. Yesterday, he wasn't there because his keys got lost. 8 of my customers outside, like, they said more about him not being there than me.
Right.
And I'm like, where was Killer at? We was looking for you. Like, when you see him walking up the street? Like, and I'm like, dang, that's what you need in life. Right. You need everybody contributes certain things to you.
Everybody play a part. The team.
And that's what these young boys need. And that's why I say it's society in itself because these young boys need people to stop turning their backs on them and actually say something to them or talk to them. Give them some of that wisdom that y'all got intertwined in your mind. Like some of the things that we know, like me as an older brother, I feel as though, like my grandfather gave me a lot of wisdom. My mom gave me a lot of wisdom. My uncles gave me a lot of wisdom. They taught me things. One of my uncles beat me up one day because I didn't have deodorant on as I came from playing basketball. Yeah. He showed me which deodorant to wear, and he said, I better not smell you like that no more again. Right. And ever since then, I've been on smell good.
Right.
People be like, yo, you work. I have women that have actually told me, you smell good after you got off work all day, sweating in the shop, because it's those teachers that I remember and how they was with me that I remember. They need that love nowadays. And they don't have it.
It'd be the little things.
Sometimes young boys come in there and they be having little. I'm like, young boy, try this cologne. I have bags of cologne in my pocket. And I have my young boy. They be spraying this stuff. Once you get them connected to it, they start feeling it.
Once they get that first compliment.
nobody never put him onto it. This is, you know, yeah, it's, oh, never, this it's good. Never like, yeah, but, it's, yeah, it's but you didn't play him, you didn't embarrass him. You say, yo, try this, you know.
I sprayed myself and they're like, damn, what's that? What's yo, that? Check this out. I spread on because, you know, sometimes our know relationship, too our relationship, yeah. I'm like, yo, try to see what the females say. I say what they want to hear.
Right.
I mean, you say what they want to say.
Solution. Oh, that's very important.
And they don't even know the problem was there because I never tell them. But I'm being a man about the situation.
Like he was saying, that's the purpose of having a real male figure around. Because only us going to know how to talk to a female and be like, ew, you stink. Like, what is
yeah.
that?
Right. And then now they're embarrassed, now they're rejecting. Yeah. Now they feel in a different type of way.
Because I'll be having this conversation with some of my boys. Like, I'll be having to tell them, like, bro, like, no matter how much just being blunt about something and being honest about something, you just getting your point across, being a man, it's about how you say shit.
Yeah.
That could really help you, like, get your point across to the point to where it's the, like, all right, well, dang, like,
yeah.
He really was trying to, like, look at a moment for me.
Men will respond better. Young men will respond better to, you know, they not, because automatically we think defensive, we think war, like, who you trying to play? Yeah. We always know that even when we say if it's another man to another man, we know that it could be consequences depending on how we decide to speak to each other. This is not a woman's episode, but women don't have that fear. They don't have that. They I always said this, that a man's power is in his physicality. A woman's power is in her tongue and what comes out of it, because she can inspire or she can help tear down a king. So women to be like, oh, I'm just being real. You're being a
you
pussy.
Know what's so crazy?
I'm being blunt to you.
And this is something we
want to
say. But
they're tearing down men or young men, and they don't know how to up. A lot of women don't know how to uplift, even though this is not a woman's episode.
Yeah, growing into the man that I am, as a man, that works both ways, whether you talking, like, you know, you trying to get your point across to a man or a grown man or a young man or something.
Yes.
Or a woman.
Yes, facts.
That's the point, the difference.
Because they're gentle.
Yeah, like.
With some of them.
Like, you know, like, sometimes you might hear somebody talking and you'd be like, oh, well, yeah, he's saying some real shit right now. But it's still a different way that he could have went about that, because, like, at
facts.
The end of the day, if you're really trying to teach somebody or, like, you know, like, have that moment with them that you're really trying to, like, level with them, then you really want to come from a place of, like, sincerity or, like...
Absolutely. Yeah. They can hear it in the cadence. They can hear it in your tone or whatever.
For sure. Be so, that...
at the same time, some people do, like...
Be that affectionate friend.
You got to be, like, assertive or whatever.
Yeah. As a man, we can be affectionate friends.
Right.
And affectionate means on a level of conversational, not... touching and, you know, yeah, all the other things. Yeah,
because
we're not even going to speak on that. It is a man's show. But we know what I'm talking about when it comes to affectionate friend. Mm-hmm. It's a man's show. We going to say what it is. Like, affectionate. Like, we portray both sides.
Yeah.
We got to sometimes treat these young brothers just like they're our child. Like, yes. I'm not afraid to say to any man, I love you, bro.
Right. Because,
But
like a younger brother, like,
but you
got to
understand. Yeah, but even when you say child, you got to understand where I'm coming from. Yeah, you got to understand. No, you got to understand where I'm coming from. I don't say child like, okay, you my child, sit down. You my child, this. No, I'm just saying, like, I don't say child like, sit down, or child, yo, come here, man.
But that's
like,
the type of love you're supposed to have for everybody. It's the love of a child. You have that's the type of love that is grace.
That's where I'm coming
at. You're supposed to bring to everybody around you.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
That's why I say a child, because in all aspects of all men, and I'm gonna tell you, just like as a father, as a mentor, as a brother, as a friend, as anything you want to call me, the one thing you have love for is your child. And it's but so many people in the world that have that mentality that they can't love their own child. So you gotta have the love of a child, because guess what? That's the hardest. That's the one. Your mother loves you to death. Your father, they love you to death. They're gonna love you to death no matter how many times you. Yeah.
Not my baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many of these mothers y'all see when their child? He a good child. He was a good boy.
Every time
that child got killed. He got killed. You don't know what he was doing in the streets, or people know what he was doing.
He
in the
probably
street.
Did something.
But guaranteed that mom and that right. they're gonna love him forever.
Facts. And, no matter what he
and
do.
That's why I say what I say, because sometimes you gotta love these brothers, these young brothers, like you love your child, and they'll feel it. They'll feel that energy because it's genuine. It's not. It's times you can say I don't like my brother at all. You see, I know brothers that kill brothers, so I can't say my brother. Like, keep it real.
Yeah.
That's why I say not my, like a brother, but like a child, like your child.
The only reason why I said that because I don't have kids.
Yeah.
So that's the perspective I was looking at it from. Like, because with my little brother, I talk to him the same way, but I know how to talk to him.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna make you feel small.
But guess what? At one point in time, y'all might have won their heads, no, or y'all no. might. How old is he compared to you?
Listen to me.
How old is he compared to you? It's a gap. It's a gap. But when the brothers are closer, it's a little bit more uneasy.
That's when him and his homie was fighting each other, and I slapped both of their hands and said, y'all fight with each other. Y'all don't hit each other. That's the only time I ever put my hands on it. Besides that, he always listens to me.
And that's a relationship right there, and I'm not going down that at all. That's a relationship. That's a brother relationship, whereas though you still feel
because
of the gap that y'all have, you treat him like you're not like your little brother, but your child also.
Almost.
That's why you hit him the way you did. And that's so in that same token, no, you ain't hit him like that. Yeah, you smacked him like a child though. But look, you smacked his friend like a child. You still treated him like you would love your kids because you didn't want them fighting each other. So that's like treating them just like you would treat them like a child. Because if it was somebody like me, and say this is Alante right here, I can't smack his hand and say, don't fight you. Like, y'all would both be fighting me then. So it's a difference.
Well, this is an age thing.
No, yeah, but it's still,
younger,
but still, yeah.
You probably could have did that.
I still wouldn't have done it because it's like I said, brother, child, different. It's a difference. You gotta treat it in a such way.
You see this?
You gotta teach in a such way.
May I jump in?
Go ahead, bro.
May I jump in? You see the type of conversations that y'all are having and things like this? This is what I would like to see more of. I've taken a stance, and the reason where we're going with this season three is I've decided to be, make myself a leader of men. I want to be inspirational. I want to ask you this question too. But before I jump into this question, Rock, I know they know we usually talk about man versus woman stuff and things like that, but I no longer want to be on that time. I want to motivate. I want to inspire. It's a lot of lovely women out here, believe it or not. It's women that are always in their femininity. Those are the ones that I'd rather speak to. I'm talking about women that even when they're mad at you, they're always in their femininity. They don't care about what you did or how did you move. If you're doing something reckless, she's going to remove herself out of that situation without jumping out her femininity. It's women that are soft, that are women that are motivate you. You as a man have to get on your job and they will find you. They will. If you are focused on what you need to be focused on, these wonderful women will find you. Now, because of what I'm saying about being inspirational, about being a leader of men, about the world, the society, where it's going, because I believe the society is failing right now, that it's a lot of degenerate things going on. It's a lot of immorality things going on. It's a lot of things going on because somebody makes money that is not cool to say nothing to them. Oh, he get the bag, or he's popular, or he got position, or he's such and such.
You know what's the craziest part about that, Alante?
Mm-hmm, go ahead.
There's somebody that makes money from the bed, and they're beyond what we even think. Everything that's bad is always profited.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to change that. We got to change that.
You got to change that, but it starts with men, though.
Because, when we look at it, we as a society and ourselves, we're always posted. Believe it or not, one of the barbers said it. He said, this is one of those things that you probably never hear about again. When we was on Yuki Washington, we were talking about our mentor thing. It's so crazy. This is one of the things that won't be talked about again.
Yeah.
And that when he said that, I said, dang, he's so right. But guess what? We're gonna make him wrong.
Yeah.
We said I ain't gonna make my brother wrong, but I'm gonna make the people that's looking at us wrong.
Right.
Cause we're gonna continue on doing good things and make people understand it's just more than bad with us black people. Black people have been put in the limelight of all of the worst things in life.
Yeah.
that we don't know how to do good. We don't understand it.
Because we're betrayed, it's like we're betrayed as negative.
And that betrayal got to stop. Like, that betrayal with our women got to stop. You know, it's a lot of beautiful women out here. And shout out to them. Shout out to these beautiful women, the black, white, Asian, whatever race and nationality. But shout out to our black queens, because they need to understand that we do treat them like queens. And there are men out there that want to treat them like queens, but they got to also have that mindset too. Sometimes it's better to agree than disagree. And with agreement with us brothers, I'm going to say to us brothers, because we always look at, once I'm not with a female, we don't want to deal with the children.
Right.
And I say to brothers, I'm going to say that all the brothers is looking at, that's the wrong fucking way to think.
The worst thing you can do as a man. Thing.
Like, I say to you, and I say it to anybody, my son's mom, she gets on my nerves, yeah. Mm-hmm. She bothers me, yeah. She does things that I don't like, yeah. But mm-hmm. guess what? And the biggest point and the biggest circumstance of all that is that I'm a father. Thanks. And guess what? Me being a father, no matter what I go through with her, I'm always going to have to stay strong and continue doing what I'm going to do. Because if I was there with her, I still had to deal with those things anyway. Mm-hmm. So me not being there with you, I'm supposed to not pay for the milk in the house?
Right.
I mean, I understand that you might have a new man. That's cool. But sometimes you got to give in to give away. Got to give in.
Can I want to add to what you just said there?
Sure, bro.
What you said there was so important. I said this on the last episode towards those lines that if you have children with a woman and you decide not to marry her, unless she finds provision and protection elsewhere, it is still your job to make sure that household is good enough that your child can be raised in. Now, you don't have to go overboard and supply her whole entire lifestyle. No. But if she calls you up and says, listen, I need a favor. Can you pick up some groceries? Can you get some milk? Your child need to eat. Even if you don't have proof that this is going to this or that, you know at the end of the day, you did your job. If you decided not to marry her.
Oh, your proof? You know what your proof is?
What?
Your child gonna grow up and know it.
Yeah, your child gonna know over time, and the children, they're intelligent. They catch on quick. I don't care what the woman is telling that child. But if you decide not to marry her, then, bro, you still got responsibility. Don't just stop. You brought a kid into this world. You're a man. You're accountable for everything you do. I want to
add. You ain't no child support, nigga. You better do that.
You better do it.
I'm gonna keep it real with you. Yeah. Honestly, you said something that I was gonna touch bases on.
Yeah.
Just don't think child support is what it is, because it's for that reason.
Yeah.
Like, me personally, I was on child support for 24 years. Even when I thought I was off, I was still on it. Yeah. I had a $9,000 check taken from me at the end of everything. And I'm like, I thought this was over. But you know how I just chalked it up and said it was never in my hand.
Yeah.
But guess what? It was never in my hand.
Right.
You because never saw guess what? Anyway. I never saw it anyway.
Right. So you're getting emotional about things you didn't even touch. Money.
My reason for
touch.
Being a barber was because of child support.
Right.
I had to find a position, a job that would make enough money to take care of the child support I had. So in some aspects of the world, you know, we put ourselves there. Right. Because we might, at a young age, we might be like, man, I ain't messing with her. I don't care about what she do. She can do whatever she want. She don't want to talk to me. I ain't dealing with the kids either.
Let me add to what you're saying. I feel like your child's mother is a representation of you still, even if you're not with her. Now, you might can't control her life, and you did the best you can do to try to influence her. She's going to do what she's going to do. You cannot stop a woman. Listen. At the end of the day, if your child's mom, if she's a good mom, if you picked a good woman, she's still a representation of you in your decision making. So if you pick the ain't shit woman who's out here doing what the fuck she want to do, then that means you was thinking with your dick and you got the wrong chick pregnant. At the end of the day, it still falls back on you because of you picking the wrong type of woman.
I gotta interject.
Go ahead.
I'm gonna be agreeable and disagreeable.
I got an ain't shit baby mom because I put the blame on me.
I'm gonna say it like this.
I picked sometimes the wrong
we. We had those days. Sometimes we had those days. And I'm going to personally say, like, we don't always catch that representative that we see. And that's on our side and their side.
So we need to take more time.
A female might, and we, like I said, a female might look at you as that man she wants to have in her life forever.
Yeah.
We might look at them as that woman that we might want in our life forever. But guess what? Yeah, tonight too. It could be either or. But guess what? That mistake happens. But once that mistake happens, it's your job, your duty to take accountability.
Take accountability.
That's the one thing that I say.
Yeah.
Accountability.
I agree with you.
Because in the long run, you're still going to have to do what you got to do for that child.
For that child. That's what I mean by representation. You cannot fix what happened. People mess up. But it goes to your point if your child's mother calls you. Say she's somebody you can communicate. You can have an adult parenting situation. If she can call you and ask for things and you can reciprocate, you could do those things. That's because you got some men to believe that if I'm not in the house, if I'm, it's not my girl, then I don't give a fuck how she survives.
I'm gonna keep it. Look, I'm gonna run this for the women and I'm gonna run this for the men.
Yeah.
For y'all women, y'all gotta understand that everybody lives. If you don't have it, sometimes we don't have it. You give us a point in time to say, well, listen, is it a possibility I can have this in a certain amount of days or a certain amount of hours or what? So most men can make it or can
do it. They'll make it happen. They'll bust their ass and
when you say, you ain't got this, you're broke, that's what causes the issue of the disrespect and the issues. So like, I've seen it. I've seen it many a times.
I agree.
Like me being a barber, my money is like different. But when I wasn't making that money in the beginning, it was like, okay, I got to wait until I make it. Yeah. And then it's been times I gave up everything I had just because that's what I was supposed to do.
Right.
I remember times of going to court and the judge told me, you paid everything, okay, but I need some arrear money. What you got on you now?
Right.
And it was like, what? Like, I just paid the joint the first of the month.
Right.
No, I want you to pay on these arrears.
Yeah.
And the arrears like $3,000 extra.
Right.
And he told me, if you don't have this in an hour, this is where you're going to be.
Right.
So, you know, those situations happen. But as y'all see, I'm here, so.
Right. I want to double back on something that you spoke about earlier, Rock. You talked about, black people and stereotypes and how we're portrayed. And it circles back to when I brought up the victim's mentality thing. I'm going to say this, and this is, sometimes stereotypes are true. Like, this is how we, well, the truth hurts sometimes. It's not a fact. I'd rather go to Whole Foods in Jenkintown, in the white people area, than go to a fresh grocer or a Save-A-Lot. The energy is different when you walk into supermarkets. When you go into black supermarkets, it's people climbing over each other trying to get whatever pack of whatever they're getting. It's just the energy is just real. It's real like the people that work there. Oh, I'm not here to help you. Or you ask me for help. Right. It's just different. The customer service is just horrible.
But you go. The reason for customer service being horrible, because I worked in the market for seven years. Honest truth. I worked in the market from the age of 14 till I turned about 20. Mm-hmm. And, I was actually a market. I did everything in there. And sometimes what you give is what you receive. Yeah. And that's just what it is.
Facts.
And that includes the products that's in the market. Because in this supermarket, I was working at the one on 54th and Chester. That's Southwest Philly. So I used to work on 54th and Chester, and I lived in North Philly. But I came out of my neighborhood.
Yeah.
The people, the way I brought my energy, it made those people down there think that I lived where they was around the corner from.
Right.
So when I walked out of my business, out of the job I was in, I could walk through their neighborhoods, and nobody was worrying about knocking me upside my head. I was actually not catching the bus sometimes. I would go around the corner to people's houses. Yo, y'all playing ball around? Let me go run ball with y'all.
What area was this?
Southwest Philly.
Okay.
I was on 54th and Chester.
Yeah.
So, 48th Street and 59th Street, the basketball courts. I was running around with them because guess what? When they saw me in the market, they knew who I was. They're like, damn.
Right.
Boy, thorough as ever.
Right.
Where you live at? Up north. For real? That's crazy.
Right.
Like, so like I said, when you reciprocate certain things, it has its own, yeah, it has its own gracefulness.
I like to talk about them. You're right. I like to talk about the mentality and how we perceive and how we like you said, is what you dish out, what you get back, things mm-hmm. like that. So I feel like we got this universal mentality as Black people, right? I'm gonna give you an example that in Philadelphia alone, you got North Philly, South Philly, Southwest, West Philly, and then you got another part of Philly called Mount Airy, called Uptown. And you hear this growing up, you know, when we gang warring with each other and we joking and having fun, older men and men who've been around and still think these things in younger men that lives in these, you know, less fruitful neighborhoods, they'll say that, that guy over there, he grew up with a lawn. He grew up with trees and it'll look good, you know, where he's at. You know, he must be soft. Like that's the bad thing. Like, that's a bad way to grow up. It's like you're instilling things in
But you know what's so crazy about that?
Go ahead.
Sometimes they'll be the ones that be doing the most nonsense because they've been in such a good place that when they actually get to a bad place, they mess up quick.
Oh, you got those type of people.
They don't know how to conform to their ways.
Right.
I actually had a young brother that lived in the Northeast. We used to call him, matter of fact, he lived in Willow Grove, Vaughn. He was a barber. When he came down to the barbershop, we on Borden area. He always lived up Willow Grove. Mm-hmm. He don't know about no North Philly.
He don't know about no hood, right.
So when he came in there, he started doing the things he was doing up Willow
Stupid
Grove.
Stupid shit, right.
And somebody attacked him because
we make it feel like that's the cool thing to be, is to be hood. But this is why I'm talking about, let's change our mentalities, because the goal should be, if you are born in these neighborhoods, the goal should be to get to a Chestnut Hill. It should be to get to a Jenkintown. It should be to get to a great, a good community, so where you could feel that, you know, that it, the cool thing is to live peaceful. And we don't make that the cool thing. And this is why I'm talking about the mentality.
Like, when I got to a certain age,
go ahead.
I got to a certain age, I'm going to say topography didn't mean nothing to me.
Okay.
Topography such as north, south, east, and west.
Right.
I don't have no topography.
Right.
When we first came up here, I said, I ain't been up here in a while.
Okay.
Topography never meant nothing to me in my life.
It probably started with my generation.
You know, yeah. Topography wasn't something that I worried about because guess what? I didn't. Huh? Topography.
Topography.
Meaning the areas, the locations. Yeah. Like, when you say north, south, east, west. I don't.
Being geo.
I thought you were saying topography.
No.
It's when you being super geo. It's when you being super geo. I watch. Go ahead. My fault. You
go ahead. No, I'm sorry. When I say that, like, I don't care about locations.
Right.
Only care about how you react.
Because you are who you are no matter where you go. Right.
Like, some people say, I don't like this, I don't like that.
Right.
I'll go there. I'll live. It's only one place I really say I don't want to live, and that's West Philly. Yeah. Because I have my reasons. Because I've been there before. Yeah. But, like, it's nothing wrong with the people that are there.
Right.
Like, I have friends everywhere. And that's what I'm going to say. I have friends everywhere.
Right.
And that's what matters the most. Because guess what? When we on these lives, we on these things, we ain't looking at topography right there.
Right.
We got people from all across the country looking at us.
Right.
There's no topography.
But everybody can relate to where they're from. They might have examples. It might be a North Philly where you're at. Or, you know, you're in New York. I don't care if you're in Wisconsin. I don't care if you're in Chicago. I don't care where you're at. You got people that are geo everywhere. I'm from such and such block. I'm from such and such block. I'm from the trenches. Listen. Right. Those, like you said, it's great people to live in North Philly. It's great people to live in Southwest. It's great people to live in West Philly. If you struggle growing up, more likely you know how to you can make it anywhere.
Yeah.
In the world, in life, if you grew up in certain impoverished neighborhoods in Philadelphia.
My thing is with people, they gotta understand how to make whatever they got going on work.
Yes. It just doesn't end there.
Yeah. Like when I first became a barber, I was only charging $5 a haircut. Yeah. But guess what? I thought about how much I was already doing and what I was already doing. I thought about when I was working, I was making $35 a day.
Right.
Or less. I was only started off working for 425 hour. Right. I'm that generation. Right. 425 hour. Right. That was minimum wage. That's simple. Crazy. Yeah, that was crazy. That was minimum wage.
Yeah.
You had to bill from 425.
Right.
I was going to work every single day for 425. Mm-hmm. Working in the back of a Smith playground, cleaning up whatever's there. like picking up trash bags from the woods with rats and all kinds of spiders and everything else. So I come from that gritty.
Yeah.
Nowadays, they don't even got that gritty. They just, the young people nowadays, they don't even understand what work really is.
Right.
And how serious it can be. When people, somebody told me yesterday, a female, y'all got, men should get their nails polished and all that stuff.
No.
Sweetheart, I'm going to tell you right now, as a man, it's not nothing gay about it. That's nice, because some people would disagree to me with this, but as a man, I want you to see that I am a man and work hard, because these nails gonna be the way they is because I work every day.
That's a I'm sign not of a working
pampering
man.
Myself.
You don't want no man I'm with no soft hands. I'm not pampering these.
Yeah, give me that. Give me a toe massage, a foot massage. And
if you want to get your nails clipped, but we ain't getting them polished.
I make sure they clean under the nail bed and all that. But
this is part of the emasculating thing that's going on in the world with men wearing dresses, painting their neck. This generation of men is soft as fuck.
What I look like walking around the streets talking about I can't open my car door a certain way because I'm going to scratch my nail polish. Yeah. What?
Right. You don't want that type of man.
Scratch my joint to the white. As long as it ain't bleeding, I'm all right.
I want to say this. We're about to end the show soon. Rock, you're one of the most inspirational people that I genuinely know. And I'm not just saying that because you up here. I wouldn't even have you up here if I felt otherwise. You a good man. You got a good heart. I want more good people out here. I'm not one of these people who just, the world is the way it is. People going to be how they're going to be. No, you have a duty and an obligation to try to change the world. If you're a God-fearing man, you have to be an example. You have to fight and do better. I believe that society is getting harder. The world is getting harder to live in. So we need more unity. We need more teamwork. We need more men to be men and want more for themselves. They want to be more than average. I want men to really look after their health. That's why I've been a health nut lately. Me and Buck been hitting the gym every night. We try to inspire other men to go to the gym, to eat better, to really care about themselves, because you can't make money. You can't take care of your family if you're not taking care of yourself. You really have to transform your life and really believe life is going to be hard. You're going to struggle. It is never going to be easy. People are going to pass away. You're going to lose jobs. You're going to lose money. It is going to hurt. But that's how men are built. Men are built through pain. They're built through struggle. They're built through losses. Pain in reverse actually destroys women. I'd rather go through everything so my women can be soft, so they can be in their femininity, so they can be gentle. So when I come home, I got peace. I don't want my woman leaving the house feeling like she got to go to war out here. So this is what men have to transform and have to be. Mm-hmm. This is the message that I'm going with in 2024.
What's your message?
That men need to be more accountable and they got to want more out of life. Stop blaming everybody. Stop blaming. Don't blame anyone.
Change your situation.
Change you first. And it starts with, that's why we talk the gym shit so much, because you learn so much in the gym about how to be disciplined, about delayed gratification, about caring about yourself for real. And it will transfer into your life in other areas. Rock, I know you had
transfers of energy.
I know you had like a health scare not too long ago. And I know I saw you change the way you was eating. You wasn't, you know, eating the same things you was eating anymore. Like you really got a scare and you really had to change. You had to look like, oh, I'm not 20 years old no more to where, you know, this is just digesting any type of way. Like, I really got to care about myself. I don't want to be around for my sons and my kids.
You know, when I was laying there, and I'm going to honestly tell you, bro, when I laid there, it was nobody else there.
Yeah.
And the whole time I was in the hospital, you know, my mom, of course, my mom and my sister's called, but it was points in time where they couldn't be there. And that was the point in time where I went into my mind the most. It's just like being in a place and nobody cares. Yeah. You know, I had that mindset in my mind, like, okay, you know, when I get out of here, I'm going to make a big change on everything I do.
Yeah.
I'm going to change my whole mindset about everything. Yeah. I'm going to change how I treat people. I'm going to change how I do things. I'm going to change the kind of way of life. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to continue on doing what I'm doing, because that legacy thing means a lot to me. I said it many a times and I say it again. I want my children to feel the way I felt when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. And I hope these children out here, and when I say my children, I don't mean my children, because I talk about the people. Right. I talk about everybody, because at one point in time in life, we were good.
Right.
In the 70s and 80s,
yeah,
people were great. What happened in the 90s?
Yeah.
I can't even tell you.
Yeah.
I just know it changed, and it changed drastically to the point where we are now.
Yeah.
And it was funny because at one point in time, there was a book that they were saying that this is the way we're going to head if as long as we keep continuing on doing certain things. And it's coming to truth.
Yeah.
And it ain't the Bible. It ain't the Quran.
Right.
This is really what a book that was wrote by people.
Right.
And it's like, and I'm like, damn, like, this is crazy. Right. They made a cartoon about it actually on Instagram where it showed the people with phones and everything was happening behind them. And it was so real that that was from a book.
Right. The world about to end, and we gonna get it on the gram. We gonna get our death right on gram.
Yeah, we gonna be sitting there just looking at
Russia phones, drop a bomb on us, and then we gotta get this on TikTok. Like you know, but
I mean, you about to die anyway.
I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna tell everybody like it is. Yeah. Social media is definitely a great thing, but it can be a bad thing. Don't live your life through it.
Right.
Live your life with it.
Yeah, it's a tool like anything else, and any tool that's abused can harm you. But if you use it correctly, you could build a business. You can change your life. People say, "Oh, you got a podcast." Have changed people's lives. People became millionaires.
Podcast first came out. I was looking at it like podcast. I used to see, you know how you used to see audiobooks. You see audiobooks and like see a phone because I had the first iPhone, so I know exactly. A podcast. What is that?
They always been,
but nobody ever touched it. They were like,
it was in schools. It was in colleges. It was popular in colleges.
So it's funny how those things change and how the world has changed. Even with, you know, the world, I never thought I would ever see the world closed in itself.
Right.
Ever see the world closed in itself. That was the craziest thing in life.
Right. We're going to speak on that more. I'm about to end the show now. Rock, I want to thank you. Shout out to Redcon again. If you're in the gym, you're changing your life. Get this energy drink. I don't got the pre-workout drink up here. The Total War, get that. This is a nice meal replacement of MREs. It's going to get you right, I promise you. This is season 3, episode 20. This is the biggest episode we have done so far. I got one of the biggest guests in Philadelphia. I'm honored. I love my team. Thank you, Buck. Thank you, Lawrence. We got a live show coming up. April 25th, you can get your tickets on Eventbrite. If you miss Love and War, don't miss I Really Loved You. It's going to be a vibe. And we getting it done. See y'all later.
Turn me up a little bit. You just watched What You Scared to Say podcast. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe now.